This is Will's Band of the Week for September 13th, 2020. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the Brooklyn, New York Bureau.
I'm here.
It's where all the cool stuff is happening, whatever that might be.
It's getting cooler. Well, the atmosphere is.
Yeah.
We don't have any fires, smoke, you know. The apocalypse is quieter here.
No forest fires in New York City, because there's no forest. Unless Central Park burned down, that'd be bad.
That would be bad.
So what's going to happen? We were just talking about maybe not wanting to do a coronavirus update, and I feel myself already doing one, so I guess that means we probably should just play the jingle. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report.
So I was thinking, all these restaurants are staying open by having outdoor seating. So what happens when you're in a northern climate? And your climate's not that different from ours. It's probably not quite as cold this year. But, you know, we get into October, people aren't going to be eating outside or wanting to, right?
That's true.
So what happens then? We just have to be staying inside for a long time.
I guess I think they'll pull out the portable heaters for a while and see if they can get through. But
yeah,
at a certain point in Wisconsin, I would say you can't go on with that.
They were talking about that here. You know, restaurants have been really creative trying to figure out ways to survive. And somebody proposed tents, but the problem with tents is they're even worse than indoor restaurants because they have no ventilation. Like if the whole thing is closed off.
Right.
Then, you know, you don't have a...
So really, you're just back indoors.
Yeah, and it's even worse because you don't have an airflow, a circulation system in the tent. So you could you could probably have some kind of open-air tent, though, right, with heaters above.
Yeah.
So something like that might be able to work. I don't know. We'll see. Beyond that, we were just discussing how our community here is hit just a ridiculous... record outbreak, and that's because the students came back. And it was funny because people were talking about this about 2 weeks ago. We were at about our county of about 500,000 people was at about roughly probably between 50 and 100 cases a day, which isn't good, but you know, it was sort of hovering around that for quite a while. And then a couple weeks ago, I was in the campus area and I saw students just all over the place. It just seemed like a lot of people congregating. Many did not have masks on, and I thought, well, some of them might live together, but my general impression was just wait a couple weeks and there's gonna be a boom. And I was right. They had 456 in one day or something like that, like 3 days ago. So I don't know. Maybe then they cracked down on the dorms and said that you can't leave your dorm building for 2 weeks, and so students are putting up signs that say "help" in their windows and stuff. So it's a lot of it's humor, but some of it's also just everybody's kind of bummed. So and then there's this conflict.
We have kind of the same situation, which is we're supposed to have kids in our schools in a week, and you know, I predict the same thing is going to happen. Is you know, within 2 weeks of that, which would be 3 weeks from now,
yeah,
we're going to have to start shutting things down again because little kids, just like college students, tend to fraternize.
Yeah, then there are students complaining that the university never had a good plan in place and that they only brought the students back for money reasons, and then they'll hang on and stay open until the point where you can't get a tuition refund, and then they'll go all online. It's just, oh God, there's plenty of room to argue about it, I guess.
The coolest story was, I forget where this was, but where the students, like a dozen students were found to be breaking the rules, and they were told, A, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Once they finish quarantining, they have to leave campus. That's B. And C, they don't get their tuition back for the entire year.
That seems maybe...
That's draconian.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh unless they just willfully, you know...
Oh, they did. They knew the rules and they had a party.
Parties and stuff. Yeah.
No masks, and that was the punishment. Yeah. But, wow.
Yeah.
Considering tuition levels, that was...
Right.
Which I know you're very familiar with.
Yeah, I am. Contributing to two tuitions at the moment, right now, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and one of them's online, completely online, and the other one is, like, half online, but they have some in-person stuff. So, yeah, and they did not reduce the tuition.
Is that the art student?
Yeah, the art school is a very small school, and they have... art studios that are open with, they schedule the times anybody can be there. And I think they can only have like seven people in there at once, and everybody's wearing a mask. So hopefully that'll work.
I had that discussion with my wife who went to art school, and she was saying, well, you know, a lot of art school, you're just going to the studio by yourself. Sometimes late at night, there's no one around. It's not really a social thing. You're just going to do your work.
Right.
So if they schedule it right, they don't have to necessarily interact that much.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. So we'll see if it works.
Right.
Of course, he's in Portland, and that's not the only problem they have in Portland right now.
Oh, yeah.
Fires and protests, and it's kind of not a really fun time to be there. But hopefully things will improve over the course of the coming months. And my other son who's in college, it went completely online. And, of course, they didn't reduce the tuition. No. And then they have people, I mean, he decided that for practical reasons, there's just no way for him to go there. So he's still here with us, just doing everything online. But they actually have a group of students in their on-campus housing, even though they've closed the campus. Like, you can't even go to campus. Like, everything's closed, and yet they still have students there. Maybe they think that they'll be able to open at some point in the near future or something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that even works. But anyway, all right, there's the coronavirus update.
Yes.
And what else have we got? Anything special, or should we go right to our music?
Well, I don't think we have any deaths. That's always a good thing, right?
You know, I was so worried. Doesn't it seem like in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the whole pandemic, a whole bunch of musicians died? I mean, there was the Adam Schlesinger, of course, which is horrible. They're all horrible, you know. Ellis Marsalis, and I'm missing like a whole bunch of them.
John Prine.
Right. That's the one I was thinking of. So at least it seems like a few months since we've heard of a coronavirus death of a musician. And the death rate has been going down as the cases have been going up because so many of the people... The new cases are young people. So, I don't know. That's good and bad, I guess. More bad, but at least if they're not dying, that's a good thing.
They're not dying. The worry, however, is that their careers are dying because nobody's making any money. But
yeah.
That's another story.
Right. Yep.
And a sad one, too.
All right, enough of that. Let's talk music. Let's talk about indie rock veterans Bright Eyes. You know, Conor Oberst, he sort of broke out, right? He had his indie rock stardom when he was really young. He was definitely not 20. I think 19.
The first one was recorded when he was something like 16.
That could be. Yeah.
I do believe.
So I didn't look it up to see how old he is now, but I don't know. Is he roughly 40? He's been around for 20 years, maybe, in the indie rock world. I'm going to throw that out there as a guess. So there were a few Bright Eyes albums. There were a lot of, I don't know how many, a few Conor Oberst solo albums, a couple of sort of side projects. And
oh, you called it exactly. He's 40.
All right. Maybe I read that somewhere. It was stuck in my head somewhere. So now, new Bright Eyes album, and I think, long has it been?
This is the first one that uses that name in a long time.
Right, right. And so he's got this collaborator named Mike Mogus, right, who's one of the Bright Eyes guys. And there's another guy in Bright Eyes, and I'm forgetting the name. Bad Music Journalism Today. But this is, I guess, the core three people. And they've got a bunch of guest vocalists. And, you know, when you're an indie rock darling, you can call upon your friends to, you know, your cool, hip indie rock friends to contribute to your album as you see fit. Conor Oberst can now do that. So, new album.
It was mid-93 when he released his debut cassette. So how old was he?
93?
Yep.
Would be... Wait a minute. He'd be 13.
Wait a minute.
He'd only be 13, right? If he was born in 1980. I don't know.
Well, it says...
Let's just say he was really young.
I mean, that was not under the Bright Eyes moniker.
Yeah.
But still. There were a couple of bands. Oh, actually, wow. There was a band called Commander Venus and a band called the Magnetas. Bright Eyes was not until 1995. So he was all of what?
15 or 16. 15. Something like 15 years old.
15.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
But he was actually releasing music at the age of 13. Incredible.
So we'd normally... You know,
he's not a veteran. There has to be a category beyond indie rock veteran. When you've been doing it for 27 years and you're only 40.
He's a post-veteran. But it's funny because...
he's a decorated veteran.
We can't really call him an aging rocker, can we, if he's only 40? Just think when he's 40 years into his career, he'll only be 60. Oh, man. Well, anyway, pretty impressive. The new album is called Down in the Weeds, Where the World Once Was. Kind of a classic Bright Eyes, you know. He doesn't, he's not afraid to be poetic, right? Doesn't shy away from being wordy.
No, and he's not afraid to be apocalyptic either. It's a very apocalyptic title and record.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've been listening to this for a while, and I was kind of waiting to see if anybody else was enthused about it, and I'm glad that you were. So you made the specific nomination of the album, so I think that means you get the first pick.
Well, there is a song on here that I think is the best song, but I'm going to hold back on that. Probably one of the best songs he's ever written, in my opinion. But there's a string right at the beginning that are just, like, in a row that are just fabulous. Not the first one, which is a little weird, but starting with the second and just continuing on from there. You just have to kind of leave it on and let it roll. So number two, your favorite number.
Yep, that's always a good one. This one is called Dance and Sing.
Gotta keep on going like it ain't the end. Gotta change like your life is depending on it. It's a long time coming and we're taking it in. What a wild ruse. See the cold moon hanging like a pendant above. Too many ice cream socials with the promise we love. Had to shoot all the targets at the carnival cause you needed hard proof. I read God's dead, I shed some tears for him. But I swear on his grave I'll never do it again. And I screamed when I realized what was happening. That I had good news. I'll grieve what I have lost. Forgive the firing squad. How imperfect life can be. Now all I can do just dance on through. See the Coast Guard come and save the drowning men out by Catalina Island, they abandoned ship. All the news trucks piled up with starts and fits coming from Point Doom. It's the last ditch effort, makes no sense to try. Put more gas on the tires, put more wood on the fire. Warm your hands up, cause we'll probably be here a while. If you want the honest truth, don't turn your cheek away. Please don't resuscitate. Make an example out of me. Cause all I can do is just dance on through and sing.
Nice.
Bright Eyes. Yep. Yeah, I think I have to agree that there's a really good string in the early part of the album. It's overall really pretty consistent, although I'm going to say both that it's consistent, but also it probably doesn't need to be as long as it is. It's 54 minutes, 45 seconds, according to my program here.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could make a 45-minute album, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. They should do whatever they want. Don't listen to what I say. So, yeah, and there's some orchestration in there, right? They also didn't shy away. In addition to calling on their indie rock friends, they didn't shy away from just putting a lot of little studio touches on the sound, and it all works pretty well, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not as raw as, you know, Bright Eyes from 2002. Certainly, but I mean, it isn't that raw musically, but it's just as raw emotionally. In fact, it might even be more raw in some ways. My understanding is he just went through a divorce, so, and I kind of hear that being referenced here and there.
Yeah. Yep.
Quite a bit. So, you know, it's emotionally somewhat scarred, I would say, but. You know, for the listener, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, you never expect it.
Not for the performer.
Don't expect a really cheery thing from Conor Oberst, really, ever.
No.
Right?
No.
I'll make a pick. I guess I don't know if I'm going to steal your track or not, but I had like three more beyond that one, I think, that were what I would call highlights. But I think my favorite would be number three, Once in the World.
Very good.
Found a through line for all humankind. If given the time, they'll blow up a walk on the moon. It's just what they do. For personal gain, on Thanksgiving Day, I joined the parade. I stood at the top of the float and threw out a rose. Watched a blast from the past, indigenous dance. Started to laugh, and then I just started to cry. Oh, this world is waving goodbye. So cut a rug, let's throw a party. Birthday cards for every. Cathedral of words, the meaning's not easy to tell. Comes back round on itself. Admires your biographer, the odometer. There's no way to turn back the clock. It's gonna run till it stops. so excited to play. Turned up all the way. Electric, ecstatic, psychotic. Jumped into the drums. Was pandemonium. So if it's time, let's go together.
Yeah, that's about as cheery as Connor ever gets. The world is ending. Let's have a party.
Yep. Well, he certainly has a unique vocal style, doesn't he? And I think I don't know if this is like a learned thing or just comes naturally to him. It's probably pretty natural, I think, just given the fact that he's been doing this since he was a teenager. But he's got this little kind of quiver in his voice that just sounds so real and kind of anxiety filled, right?
Yeah.
And he's sure. Great lyricist. I totally fail in my lyrical analysis. I know that the more I would pay attention and read the lyrics, the more impressed I'd be. Mm-hmm. So, Bright Eyes, the album is Down in the Weeds Where the World Once Was. And back to David for another pick.
Well, you were saying it might be a little bit long, but you wouldn't want to cut number 13, my favorite, Calais to Dover, which sounds very much like a breakup song or a post-breakup song.
All right, here it is.
Under a microscope of apoplectic vision, my face on a slideshow, I look totally unhinged. Forgot the Latin word, the name for this condition. Set off a sick to get attention. Now this winter got an excuse to not go home. Rented a house out on the coast. Flying away, I heard a memory, your voice over the engine. So full of remorse and apprehension. Now that you're gone, now that I'm out here on my own, it won't be long till I have to pay for what I've done. Tell me to stop, tell me to watch. Don't wanna state the obvious. Threw up on ferry ride from Calais back to Dover. As pale as the white cliffs that we faced. Wasn't afraid of eventuality, just knew that it was over. No brushes with death could keep us sober. In London, I'd hold you to everything. If we were in Cardiff, I'd just sing. But I'm stuck in Omaha, obsessed with my invention. There isn't a name for this condition. Tell me I'm wrong.
Straight out of Omaha.
Does he still live in Omaha? It seems like he would have moved to L.A. for indie rock stardom or something like that.
Yeah, I think he did, but he might still have a place back home. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up now.
Is Omaha where Katie Crutchfield and...
Allison?
No, her husband. Is that where they're... quarantining? Quarantining somewhere in the Midwest.
Kevin Morby?
Morby, yeah.
Mm. I don't think it was Omaha, but I'm not sure. Well, Wikipedia, which, of course, has answers to everything, just says he was born in Omaha, Nebraska. Mm. I don't think it's saying like where he's based presently. So, yeah. Well, did we do it justice?
I hope so.
Bright Eyes and Connor Oberst still at the, I'm going to say they're still kind of at the top of their game, right? It may not have like the same intensity of when he was 22 or whatever, but, you know, it's a different kind of intensity, and it's a solid album. So,
yeah,
very, very worthy.
Incredible staying power there.
I did
going into whatever, the third decade, the fourth decade? I can't
It is, yeah. I did see Conor Oberst live one time, and it's one of those shows that I always tell this story. I can't remember who went with me, because I thought that that maybe Barrett did, but then I think he told me that he didn't. And so then I asked my wife, did you go to that Conor Oberst show with me? No. It was like, it must have been around, I'm going to say it was around like 2014 or something. It's a few years ago. Anyway, he was really good. It was one of those things where his, even by then, you know, his repertoire was just, the catalog was huge. And so, and I didn't know all of it, but maybe I'd at least heard probably three quarters of it. So then you wonder, well, is he going to play a bunch of stuff I don't know? Is it going to be, you know, hard to kind of just relate to it? But it was just really good, just really good quality all around. So if live music ever returns again, definitely check out Bright Eyes or some Conor Oberst project.
Or right, he's probably going to, if that happens, he will probably be touring with BB doing Better Oblivion. Or who knows, maybe they will move on to some new project by then, both of them.
They could do a triple bill by just having, you know, Phoebe Bridgers could open up for Better Oblivion Community Center, who is opening up for Bright Eyes, maybe.
That's right.
Be kind of grueling.
Very economical that way.
If you have to play for 3 hours, though, it's kind of probably be a little taxing. But I don't know. From a musician's perspective, maybe it wouldn't be that bad. You like playing music, right? Well,
she would get a break because she could sit out the middle. So.
Yeah. Doesn't she sing a little bit on this new Bright Eyes album? I can't remember now who all the celebrities are.
I haven't tracked the celebrities.
Yeah, I didn't either. No. All right, well, very good. Will's band's seal of approval to the new Bright Eyes album.
Yes.
All right.
That may be the last Bright Eyes album, but it's definitely not the last Conor Oberst album. So we just await the next project.
Whatever it is. Right. Well, okay, now we're back to an artist who, didn't you introduce us to this artist about a year or maybe a year and a half ago?
Yes, I've been trying to recruit people into the Cult of Samia, waiting for there to be an actual record.
And here we go.
It's been a while. I actually saw her in concert, but she still didn't have a record at that point. She had like 5 singles out, and they were all great. None of them are on this album. Incidentally, but and she was great in live performance, and now the album is finally here, and it's called The Baby.
Yep.
I guess because she's been, you know, gestating it for so long, and
right,
it's finally arrived. The baby
it's been
is
here. Born. Yep.
And I think it's a really it's a really good showcase of all her talents. I mean, it really puts her out there, and it's just a shame that it's coming out in the middle of, you know, no performance, the year of no performances, because otherwise I'm sure she would be out promoting this and performing. And when she does perform, it's quite the strenuous athletic thing. You know, she climbs on the amplifiers, she sings flying on her back, she's all over the stage, so... You're missing all that.
Oh, man.
Record, but, you know, it's good.
Has she done any quarantine performances?
Yes, she definitely has.
She can climb on the bookshelves in her apartment or something.
It's, you know, it's solo acoustic. It's just not the same.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not the same.
There's a full band here. There's definitely, you know, a lot of production.
Yeah. Yeah, and this album has definitely solid... high quality production for sure.
Maybe a little too much. I would have dialed it back a little, but it's okay.
Yeah, there are some places where it's kind of, yeah, like I think it's sometimes it's harder to appreciate a song when you're, if you get distracted by the production a little bit. But yeah, well, let's play a track. What are we going to start with?
Well, I think the one that really kicks it off, once again, is number two.
Yep, I agree. Cool. Yep, Fit and Full.
I think that one has just the right amount of production. Not too little, not too much.
Yeah, the punchiness contributes to the whole thing. Like the punchiness of the production. That's a super catchy one, yeah. Samia. Isn't she she's from your backyard, like literally, right?
Yep. I think she's Brooklyn based, but Manhattan born.
So she was born in Manhattan and she moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom from Manhattan.
No. So
she doesn't really have indie rock stardom yet, but we're working on it, right?
She's working on it. She's working.
Yeah, we're trying to help too. Yeah. I like this album. It is that's probably the most upbeat track, right? There's some mid tempo stuff and some slower stuff.
Yeah.
So
got a little of everything. It's got a little sort of sad acoustic number to close everything out.
Yep. Yeah, and I wasn't sure what to pick, but listening to it again today, I decided that I would go with number 8, Waverly.
Yeah, that sounds...
There's a restaurant in the East Village where all the waiters are celebrities. My first love waited hours in the back, making brazen advances toward Waverly. There's Laura, the movie star, leaving his number for her on an old receipt. All I know is that she didn't call him. What a mystery, Waverly. Thank you. I'm a patron dressed up like a person. I'm a creature instead of me. Dark at night and sunlight in the morning. Decide that I'll try aging gracefully. Here all of my friends and my parents. This is my birthday party. You can push all the tables together, but you can't pull one over on Waverly.
Waverly from the new album by Samia. The album is called The Baby. And, well, I think I, this is not her, the meaning of her, of the Waverly reference, but it made me think of the train station in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland. Waverly train station is the main big station. So I put that in my head and it was kind of cool. And her name's Sammy Affinity. The songwriting credit, when you pull up the song on, I searched for the lyrics on Google, and it credits four songwriters. So it must be her band. So it's sort of a band thing. Lars Stelfers, Matthew Compton, Sammy Affinity, and Samuel Rosenstone are the songwriters credited for writing that. So,
okay.
Cool. Yep. It's a good one. So, do you have any other music journalism on Samia?
No. I mean, she has this showbiz background. Her mother is an actress, comedian. I'm looking up Rosenstone, actually. It seemed to ring a bell, but I guess maybe, I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess those are the band members. Yep, Rosenstone. From Minnesota. Her mother, I think, their father might be an actor as well. Not sure. But definitely her mom, also her biggest fan, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was looking at the credits they have on the Bandcamp page. Engineering by Caleb Hins in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So they've got this Minnesota connection. So that's cool. All right, well, let's play another track.
Yeah, I was going to go with number four. Also a banger.
Limbo Bitch.
Yeah.
Take down. Take heed. Thinning. Cold feet.
Samia.
Yeah, it's really so sad that there aren't live performances now, because I could see her opening for somebody like Sakamami, for example.
Sure.
And, you know, picking up bands from that.
Yeah,
that
definitely. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be weird if it's like 6 or 8 months before you can have live performances again, which I don't know, I'm throwing that out there. That might not even happen, but assume it does. You'd be like, all right, remember that album that I put out 8 months ago?
Yeah, but everybody's going to be doing it.
Right, I know. It's a weird timing thing. But maybe, I don't know. The other thing is that we kind of talk about it, like, you know, live performances are back and everybody's going to come back and go totally nuts, right? But, you know, it may not happen that way, right? It might be kind of a gradual return. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
And when they come back, they're going to be strange because people are going to be, who knows, masked and distant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as we've noted, Fontaines have already got a concert schedule up.
The Fontaines have
not
been
the only ones.
They are booking so many shows. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, it probably makes sense, right, to just book a bunch of stuff while you're hot, sort of. And then if you have to cancel them, then you have to cancel them. But if you never booked them to begin with, then maybe you kind of, your momentum would be lost. And you wouldn't sell as many tickets if you just started from scratch next spring or whatever.
Seize the moment.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. So, all right, Samia, I'll declare us two for two.
Out there.
Should we declare ourselves two for two? I think we should.
I think so.
And
definitely a success.
Well,
and
we
incidentally, there's more material. That's not they're the original singles that she did, and a couple that she put out recently, and none of that is on this record. So there's plenty of material to listen to while you wait for the live performances.
Right. Some people, you know, they release their album and they're like, well, I had a pretty good single on that EP from 2 years ago. Let's put that on the album. And I kind of can't blame them for doing that, but I also really admire when the new stuff is completely new, because then you know that they're a prolific enough songwriter that they're confident that they can just keep writing good stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we have enough time, don't we? I was saying before we started recording that I could do a vault selection if we end up having enough time. So I don't know. Is it still? I guess it would be in the vault. If you go back to 2011, you know, that would be in the vault, right? It wouldn't be too far back there. But so let's just go back, you know, to the vault. We don't have to walk too far back there to find this one.
Right. It's in the front shelf area.
Yep. It's got to be in here somewhere. Okay, we'll just do a short jingle for the more recent selection. In 2011, a band that is now very aptly named put out an album, and I'm saying they were aptly named because they're called the Vaccines. We keep hearing about Vaccines, and then I keep thinking about, hey, there was this cool band, The Vaccines. I think they sort of still exist, but and they put a few albums out in the last decade, but none were better than the 2011 album called What Did You Expect from The Vaccines? So that term being in my mind, I thought, you know, I should go back and listen to this, and it's great. It's a super catchy Britpop album. I think, David, you said you had not heard this?
I have not heard them, but I did experience them live at a festival.
All right.
A few years ago.
Well,
they were pretty good.
We'll play a couple tracks here and see what you think. Here's number two, If You Wanna.
The day that's what all friends I do not like as much as you say.
the vaccines from 2011, and I would call that, I'm going to call it adrenaline-fueled power pop. How's that?
Yeah. I'm on board. I just looked it up, and it was 2015 when I saw them, so it's a little post this one, but they were definitely in that group.
Yep. All right, let's play another track. This is where they slowed it down a bit and showed some versatility. Here's number 5, Wetsuit.
If at some point we all succumb, for goodness sake, let us be young, 'cause time gets harder to outrun, and I'm nobody, I'm not done with a cool, cool breeze and dirty knees. I rest on childhood memories. We all got old at breakneck speed. Slow it down, go easy on me, go easy on me.
Vaccines from 2011. What did you expect from the vaccines?
Is it blasphemous to suggest that they're reminding me a little of the Killers?
That's not blasphemous. It's funny because it's kind of a fine line where, you know, with these like the kind of poppy bands, and this one like totally caught the catchiness. I totally got into, yeah. And the Killers I just never really got into. But I'm sure that's it's the same general category that they would fit into. A couple of notes about the. The critics' response to this. Pitchfork gave this a 6.2 and found it to be very overhyped. Although there was some statement like they're neither as good or bad as people say they are. But it sounds like they're more leaning toward the bad, the 6.2. But Will from Will's Band of the Week had this as the number 2 album of 2011 after the Yuck album. So I was definitely won over by the album. So,
yeah, you were 2 for 2 on that one.
Yep. Yeah, I looked back. My top 5 in 2011 were Yuck, The Vaccines, Wild Flag, Bon Iver, and The Ravenettes. So, yeah, the debut Bon Iver. I guess I bought into the early indie rock stardom of Bon Iver. Before he was, I don't know, that first album,
You picked him up early and then dumped him when everyone else got on board.
I kind of dumped him with a lot of the sampling and stuff. I wouldn't say I've completely dumped him, but partly dumped him, I guess. Yeah, he wasn't hanging out with Kanye or anything like that back then. All right.
Well, speaking of Pitchfork, I noticed that they just came out with a big article on one of our babes, Chai.
Oh, the really?
On Chai.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Can't find it now, but it came up on the Twitter. Just one of those profiles. How cool they are. But, you know, we were there early.
Yeah, we were. Let's play one more track from the Vaccines album. Another catchy one, number 7. It's called Post-Breakup Sex.
Good title.
I can barely look at you.
not quite the Conor Oberst level of lyricism, but it's a catchy song.
It is. Yeah.
The Vaccines.
I think you got it more correctly than Pitchfork did.
Yeah. Of course, I think so.
They might have to do one of those revisits, go back and correct that rating.
Right.
It's kind of an embarrassment on the record, I think.
Yeah. Yep. All right, there we go. We can get this thing in under an hour. Very efficient this week. I don't think we need to blather on for too long.
No, not necessarily.
We were at greater than $0 like probably 15 minutes ago. So I think we can boldly declare that
I'm sure
we've given them their money's worth.
We've got the old favorites. We've got the up and coming, and we've got the vault covered. We covered everything.
A little of everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've still got like 20 albums that I'm either thinking I should listen to, or some of them I have listened to. So who knows what might rise to the top? But I think we have a couple already on board for next week, though. It's pretty exciting. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, well, thank you for your
just don't
contribution.
Let everyone know what's on your list, because, you know, then they're just going to be sending you those emails and those texts and bothering you, trying to get on board.
Right. Right. I could just mention like four and say, you know, whichever band gets in touch with us and records promos for us gets to be featured.
That's right. I'm going to do an interview.
Right. Well,
all right.
I think the interviews have been fun. The interview with Glenn was great, I thought.
He stayed for the whole thing.
Right. And so, you know, hope to do more of those in the future because they're fun. So
that's right.
Come
for the interview and stay to slag other bands while you have the chance.
Right. Can't go wrong with that strategy.
Right.
All right.
All right.
We'll sign off and we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.